Welcome, concerned viewers, to Planet Earth, our loving home. The World Watch Institute, a renowned U.S. environmental think tank, recently posed the question, are livestock emissions killing the planet? On the cover of the November-December 2009 issue of its periodical World Watch magazine. Retired World Bank Group Lead Environmental Advisor Dr. Robert Goodland and Research Officer and Environmental Specialist for the group's International Finance Corporation Division, Jeff Anhang, addressed this question in their article, Livestock and Climate Change. Their answer was a resounding yes, as they concluded that the livestock production cycle and supply chain produce at least 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions. The 2006 United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, report, Livestock's Long Shadow, concluded that the livestock industry is responsible for 18% of such emissions. Even this figure is significant considering that global emissions from the transportation sector, the focus of many current government reduction programs, accounts for only 13% of greenhouse gases released worldwide. The report is even more remarkable for the fact that it was written by the livestock group within the FAO. Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang based their study on the FAO's calculations, expanding on them by including emissions they believe were missed, undercounted, or misallocated. On today's program, we will explore their landmark paper and hear the views of several scientists and an environmental economist on livestock emissions. Livestock's Long Shadow examined the end-to-end emissions attributable to the livestock industry, including those from producing fertilizer, growing food crops for livestock, and raising, killing, processing, refrigerating, and transporting animal products. The report found that livestock produce 9% of human-caused carbon dioxide, 37% of methane, and 67% of nitrous oxide emissions. The study also stated that over a 100-year period, methane has 23 times the global warming potential or potency of carbon dioxide, while nitrous oxide has 296 times the global warming potential. Based on the data, the report made the following recommendation. The livestock sector emerges as one of the top two or three most significant contributors to the most serious environmental problems at every scale from local to global. The findings of the report suggest that it should be a major policy focus when dealing with problems of land degradation, climate change and air pollution, water shortage and water pollution, and loss of biodiversity. Dr. Daniel Johansson, an environmental economist at Sweden's Chalmers University of Technology, believes that if livestock produce even 18% of global emissions, this is more than enough evidence of the need to reduce meat consumption.
The FAO paper was very strong. It really showed that meat consumption has a very large impact on climate change. And by the FAO paper, you really show that meat is a very important aspect of climate change problem, and reducing meat consumption is a very important aspect of mitigating climate change.
In total, the Food and Agriculture Organization estimated livestock are responsible for 7.5 million metric tons of CO2 equivalents each year. By comparison, Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang estimated the livestock industry creates at least 33 million metric tons annually. Of this figure, the authors stated that 22 million metric tons, or 34.5% of global emissions, come from emission sources not addressed by the FAO, most notably carbon dioxide from livestock respiration and emissions created when land is cleared of trees and vegetation for animal agriculture, as well as the undercounting of methane. The single greatest adjustment to the Food and Agriculture Organization figures made by Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang was to add CO2 from livestock respiration, stating that this source accounts for 8.8 million metric tons of CO2. By contrast, the Livestock's Long Shadow report concluded respiration is not a net contributor to CO2 because it is part of a rapidly cycling biological system. But is this an accurate assumption? Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang cite the research of British physicist Dr. Alan Calvert regarding the need to account for this respiration. Dr. Calvert, whose findings appear in his article A Radical Approach to Kyoto, published in Physics World in 2005, calculated that the CO2 from livestock respiration amounts to 21% of global human-caused CO2 emissions. Supreme Master Television spoke with Dr. Calvert to learn more about why he chose to focus on respiration in calculating worldwide greenhouse gas emissions from livestock. Dr. Calvert explained that from his perspective as a physicist, animals primarily convert plant energy into other types of energy, namely heat and movement.
And all respiration is the oxidation of plant material. Biochemists will tell you it's a lot more complicated than that, but to the physicist, what goes in is carbon compounds, and what comes out is carbon dioxide and energy. And that's the energy the animals use to move around, and also to keep themselves at a temperature where they can function. In fact, and the basal metabolic rate, which is the amount of energy that you generate just to stay alive, what it needs to keep your body at the temperature at which it can work. And that was really what I based my calculations on. So that turns out to be about 150 watts for a resting human, which for the largest man is almost exactly 2 watts per kilogram. Turns out that most animals run about that same level.
Just starting from some very elementary physics and looking at the quantity of meat that people eat, it's pretty clear to me that between 20 and 25% of anthropogenic carbon dioxide emissions are actually attributable to the exhalation of farm animals.
When we return, we'll continue examining livestock emissions and the fueling of global warming. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, our loving home on Supreme Master Television. In their recently published paper, Livestock and Climate Change, in World Magazine, former and current World Bank environmental experts Dr. Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang conclude that 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions come from the livestock industry. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization had concluded in their report, Livestock's Long Shadow, that it was not necessary to include the respiration of animals in calculating emissions attributable to livestock, because they believed the animals were part of the ecological equilibrium. Mr. Anhang and Dr. Goodland point out in their article that to create land for animal farming and for raising crops to feed them, humanity has felled immense swaths of CO2-absorbing forests, far in excess of the land use changes accounted for in the FAO's calculations, while at the same time increasing the number of livestock on the planet to unnatural numbers on the order of tens of billions. As British physicist Dr. Alan Calvert observes, a planetary disequilibrium has thus been created.
If the whole world were in continuous equilibrium, then roughly the amount of carbon consumed by animals would be about the same as the amount sequestrated by plants. But the whole point is, if you think that man has had any impact on global temperature, the world is not in equilibrium. We have produced a disequilibrium. And part of that disequilibrium is that we are farming far more animals than would appear in nature.
Although the Food and Agriculture Organization did not include these figures in their calculations of livestock emissions from land use changes, their report shows that in the 1770s, around 5% of land was used for pasture, increasing to about 27% by 2002. By contrast, the amount of forested land decreased during this period by approximately the same percentage, from nearly 50% in the 1770s to 30% in 2002. As Dr. Goodland and Mr. Anhang state in their article, CO2 sequestration provided by animals consuming the carbon in plant matter is trivial compared to the ability of the felled trees to capture and store carbon. For this reason, they concluded it is valid and relevant to include the respiration of livestock animals in calculating the total emissions attributable to livestock. Another adjustment to the livestock's long shadow estimates made by the authors is based on land use changes. Although the FAO report included emissions from some livestock-related changes to land use, such as the current deforestation of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, the report notes it did not comprehensively address emissions related to land use changes. Dr. Goodland and Jeff Anhang believe the FAO analysis is insufficient to account for the centuries of humankind's deforestation and conversion of land for livestock raising. For example, they estimate that at least 200 tons of carbon is released into the atmosphere for each hectare of forest cleared or burned. Thus, their study concludes that unaccounted for land use changes are responsible for at least 2.6 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent emissions annually. Compared to animal agriculture, organic vegan farming is by far more efficient in terms of food production relative to land occupied. So a global change to an organic vegan diet would free up much farmland now used for livestock raising. Any unused space could be replanted with trees or be allowed to grow wild again. In turn, the new vegetation would absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. This enticing possibility for quick action on global warming is presented in the Netherlands Environmental Assessment Agency's study, Climate Benefits of Changing Diet. The agency evaluated three scenarios involving different global dietary choices to determine the cost savings of mitigating global warming by 2050, depending on the scenario chosen. Agency scientists concluded that if the global population adopted a plant-based diet, 80% of the cost of addressing climate change would be eliminated. They reached this result by accounting for both the benefits of ending emissions from livestock, assuming that they produced 18% of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide, and the amount of CO2 that trees planted in the newly freed up areas would remove from the atmosphere. Joop Oudelohuis, manager of the Climate and Global Sustainability Unit of the Netherlands Environmental Assessment Agency, provides further details.
And we assume that the grasslands that were in that case not used by cattle anymore, they would go back to their natural state. So it's not that they are changed into another, let's say, intensive agricultural purpose, but they could return to their natural state. And for that reason, several parts of the world will grow forests and retain carbon in terms of more woodland. So there is, let's say, a double dividend. One, there is more room for growing food for people, and on the other hand, you have more land that can be used for storing or the fixation of CO2.
Thank you, gracious viewers, for joining us for today's program. Please join us next Wednesday for part two of Meat and Global Warming, Uncovering Truths to Save the Planet, where we will explore further why the authors of Livestock and Climate Change concluded the livestock industry creates at least 51% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Coming up next is Enlightening Entertainment after Noteworthy News. May we all awaken to the divine within.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE